Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's get right out to Ashburn. Adam Peters, Dan Quinn set to meet with the media after yesterday's season-ending loss.
All right. Good to see everybody. A lot of thought from last night and today, and our team has a lot going for it. They've got brotherhood and toughness and work ethic, and there's just one thing we didn't have, and we just got it last night, and those are scars. And you can't get them when you first huddle up, and you got to earn them. And as sure as hell don't want to, but you do need them to grow. And you truly don't know who you are until you get your ass knocked down and see how you get back up. And if I knew anything about our team, they will absolutely get up swinging. And so as AP and I, we can sit up here and point to every great win this game has given us. But I know we'd also spend more time on the losses. And that still, we still ain't over years later. But all of them led to he and I being here together. And together, I wouldn't want to ride strong with anybody else. And so he's been an amazing partner for me all the way through. And so a lot to be thankful for our team. I'm not there yet. I will be one day, but I'm not there today. So all I said, I'll kick it over to Adam, and he'll kick on, then we'll get rocking with you guys.
Yeah, not a ton to add, just really – yeah, like you said, it still stings. We're just still going through it right now. But I can say that although it's not where we want to be right here, sitting next to each other, I'm proud to be sitting next to you, and really proud of this team and what they did and this group of men, and just really thankful for them and how much work they put in, and just really a lot of gratitude today for that group. And, you know, that's probably the best way to say it. Just a lot of gratitude and disappointing ending, but very grateful for everybody. So, you guys, go ahead.
Hi, this is to Adam and to DQ. We're less than a year of you guys really coming together. You've been in the league. You've seen success happen at a certain rate. This was a fast rate, according to most. How surprised are you that you got to this point this quick?
Well, you know, I think when we got in here, we had a shared vision, and DQ did an incredible job of really instilling that into our players and bringing our guys together and creating a true brotherhood. And, you know, he said that, you know, when we started, the faster we can create that, the better we can be sooner. And I think he did an excellent job with that, and our guys did an excellent job buying into that and living that way. And so just really proud of how quickly that came together.
For me, I thought that was probably the difference between, like you've heard us say the word rebuild and recalibration. And we knew there were some excellent people here, and rebuild would have meant tear down. And that's not how we thought of this at all. And there were so many, you know, people that were here that, like, were absolutely all in. And so for us getting a chance to visit with, you know, somebody like Tressway today and to know how much he is in, like, you feel it. And those are, you know, some of the emotions I have for it. And the recalibration meant, like, everybody's bounced, the needle bounces around a little bit, but we found it. And we found who we are and our identity. And like I said, we've the floor has risen, but, like, we're nowhere near where our ceiling's going to be. And that fires me up.
Question for DQ or both of you.
We got to stop with the two, both of them. We can do, yeah.
Dan, it is.
There you go.
you've been through this with Atlanta, the coaching carousel stuff, losing assistants. As much as you're still going through the emotions from yesterday, that carousel is moving. How do you prepare? Obviously, Cliff and Joe have gotten requests, but even further down the line, how do you prepare for coming moves that are probably inevitable? And how does that impact your, like, self-scouting going forward?
Yeah, you better be prepared, right? Because as a staff, if you do well, then those are some of the things that take place from that. And we do have a deep crew, and that was part of the plan all along, that if those moments happen, we'll be ready to adjust. Not only do we develop the players here, Adam and I, we also want to develop coaches. And so, like, everybody in here, like, how do we get better? Where do we go? And so we dig in hard on those. As far as what is, just, you know, more speculation for us, but that is our plan of how we do things. We develop people here.
For Adam, last year you had obviously a very busy year in terms of building this roster, revamping it, and so on. And it looks like another one is on tap, knowing how many free agents you guys have. What kind of lessons, takeaways did you get from doing it this past year? It's a different situation, perhaps, but that you think apply to what you're going to do now going forward?
Yeah, I think something that when we talked with a lot of the guys today, really resonated with, I think, both of us, and that's you know, bringing in the right people and bringing in guys who we see as commanders. And so I think if we're going to take away a lesson, I think that would probably be the biggest one, is getting the guys that are commanders, that are competitors, that love ball, love each other, and will play for each other. And we had a bunch of those guys on this team, and they liked playing for each other, and they all said that today, and it was really a cool thing to hear, and so that's what we'll look for.
You're listening to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn addressing the media in Ashburn.
For him to be playing his best going forward.
Yeah, Marshawn, you know, he came into a tough situation. He did, and he was injured when he got here, and so anytime you come into a new team and you're injured, it's really hard to integrate, you know, and plus you're coming in at the end of the season. So at the same time, you're rehabbing, you're learning a new defense, you're trying to meet new teammates, and so it was a tough situation for him to come in. But what was cool was, you know, we saw him get better, and we saw him get more acclimated, not only to the defense, but to his teammates. And so really excited for him to have an off season with us and you know, really learn the defense from the ground up and really have that full runway of training camp and leading into the season, and looking forward to that.
Adam and Dan, if you want to chime in, you're welcome to as well.
I'm going to knock on. I'm not chiming.
Okay.
I chime all the time. I'm not chiming.
You've been through a number with different organizations where you've had success. How do you, when you're trying to look for the future, balance, you know, you have the emotion of the season and what you guys did versus having to take a cold, hard look at how it needs to proceed going forward with decisions making on the roster, et cetera?
Yeah, like today is, like you said, it's a tough day. And so we're just kind of getting through that right now. And, you know, now once we turn that page, we'll meet with the coaches and really discuss where we want to go next. And coach and our scouts have been working their tails off on the draft and free agency. So really we're just about to turn that page and really sit down with each other and figure out, you know, how we can improve this team and get better for next year.
It's for Adam. What'd you make of the job Cliff Kingsbury did, and is your expectation that he will be back as offensive coordinator next year?
You know, I'll speak on the first part. I thought he did a fantastic job, and I thought he really he led well. He had great energy. He listened. He was, you know, obviously the performance was outstanding. He's a great play caller, but I think just really being able to, I've known Cliff since I was 23, and so I've known him a long time. I never worked next to him, and just to see how hard of a worker he is and how tireless he is. He's here, you know, 3 a.m. I think I didn't beat him in once. Tried to, couldn't do it, and how much he cares about this team and the guys in that room was really, really special to see. And, you know, I'm sure his time's coming soon.
This question is for Dan. Obviously, your messaging about the scars must have resonated because Tressway shared that with us in kind of his media availability. What ultimately was behind that in terms of maybe adding fuel and kind of learning from that loss against Philly? And kind of just dig deeper on that scar messaging, please.
Sure. Those tough games that, you know, leave the mark, that's really what we're talking about. And you have to go through them because you only really get to be back in that spot, in that arena to get to. This was my lesson into this. And the scars are there to remind you of what and how. And it's really hard to get to the game that we got to yesterday. And so I wanted to make sure that it counts, you know, that the lessons are learned and that we're able to apply them moving forward. And but it does sting, you know. It's when you're in front of the team and, like, you know how hard they have absolutely went for it. You never want to lose that reminder.
Hi, Coach and Adam, but this message is for Coach. Clean out locker room was today, and some of these players will be back and some maybe not. But what was the most important message, whether they're going to be back or not, that you wanted to deliver to each player? Because talking to the players today, they said that you cannot cheat the process.
Yep, that's what you'd like to hear as a coach, Donna. What I said to them last night, I wanted them to, even before they got a chance to visit with you guys, to savor this time. And they've created something together as teammates that is special. And not every locker room is the same year to year, and knowing that next year's team will be different than this year's team. But what they have created, I didn't want them to miss that and lose that, because having great team chemistry is a part of a championship run. And they know exactly what that looks like, and I discussed that today. There'll be some time in between now and when our off-season program begins, and making sure they're checking up on one another and calling in and pushing and doing all the things that great teammates do. And this has been a really, really fun team to coach because of their connection. There'll be plenty of times where a meeting is starting, Adam and I will just be right outside, and I'll wait a minute. I'll just hear the noise, and they're inside and enjoying their time together. So I don't always start right then, just because nobody's out in the hall and they're not late. I just know that they enjoy that time that they spend together. And if you can create that as a team and really fight your ass off for it, that's the type of environment we want to, you know, foster as often as we can.
This question's for Coach Quinn. Just kind of your reflections on the reigniting of this fan base and how excited fans were for this run this year. What did that mean to you as the head coach of this team?
You know what it meant? Like, honestly, so much. And there were certain markers that happened along the way this year that the team, we absolutely felt that. And I think from a home game perspective, it was Atlanta was the one, for whatever reason, I think, and Tress even referenced this, we were losing, I believe, at the half, and to hear the crowd erupt, like feeling the support behind them, like you can't help but to win. And so to know that, and then saw Burgundy down in gold in Dallas, and then in Tampa, and smidgens of it in Detroit. And again, yesterday, we feel it. We feel it. And we know how important football is to this community. And so to know that we're a part of that, man, it's really awesome.
For Adam, this team wasn't expected to appear in the NFC Championship game. How does this success that you guys had this season affect how you approach the offseason? Does it make you more aggressive in trades or free agency?
Yeah, I think, you know, every year's different, you know, and every team's different. And so this is where we ended up this year, but every team starts again at the bottom. And so, you know, once this season's over, we're 0-0, and every single day we're just going to have to try to get better. And I know it's a boring answer, but it really is just, we're going to look at every single day as getting better each day and doing what's best for the team and trying to get back up.
Don't worry about it. They've heard that message before. They're okay.
Hey there, and this question is for Adam. As you both have mentioned, this is a tough day for you all and for the players as well, but you know, it's still kind of business as usual, right? It's Senior Bowl week, and there's still work to be done. So how do you just kind of focus, Adam, to say, okay, I got to feel the way I feel, but continue on with doing the work of the business?
Yeah, it is, you know, it's sobering, but then getting down, and we're going to go down, a few of us are going to go down to the Senior Bowl tomorrow. And so that's exciting, you know, and we're going to do that, you know, whatever the result of the game was, but really exciting to go down there and be with the guys, be with our scouts that are out on the road all year and working their tails off to get ready for the draft. So, you know, I didn't prepare for this day, you know, and maybe that's silly, but I didn't and wasn't expecting this. And so, you know, you got to kind of come in and turn the page. And so we did that today. And then tomorrow we'll go back down there and look ahead and get caught up with all that stuff. And then it's the rest of the off season. So it never stops. It really doesn't. But it'll be good to get down there and see the guys and be around the guys. It'll be fun.
GM Adam Peters, head coach Dan Quinn, taking questions from the media after Washington's loss in the NFC Championship game, live here on Grant and Danny.
The phrases in the around the building and what resonated to them the most. And most of them said that anybody, anywhere, anytime was the phrase that they took from the season, that embodied the whole season. Some of them said it embodies how they're going to move forward in life. As a teacher, as somebody who wanted to teach in culture, could you talk about how good that makes you feel that it resonated, not just words that were on walls, but now it's part of who they are?
Yeah, I love that you shared that. Let's start with that. Anybody, anywhere, anytime. It's really the life of a competitor, and like if that's our central theme that we want here of competing, that's really where it started, you know, whether it's playing on the East Coast, night games, day, anywhere, that all of the opponents got the same regard and like they were going to get all of us and how we would go do that. And so it really was about us, even though it's anybody, it was really our way and this is how we will go do things. And so I wanted them to take that life of a competitor and apply it to our whole team, and in different ways that's just how we would want to get down. And I'm glad that they shared that one with you today, because if there's one that probably resonates with me as well into that spot. But it really is about us, even though the message has anybody, but it's like how we do things.
Got time for three more?
Hey, Dan, I'm not asking about any individual player, but you brought in some veterans whose obviously first job was to play football, but secondly, help you guys kind of set the standard for yourself and for the team.
Yes.
Moving forward, how do you kind of balance and, I guess, value the veteran leadership versus building a football team that can win long term?
Yeah. Some things don't show up on the stat sheet. They just don't. And people like Adam see that and understand that. It may not come in a metric or next gen stat, but it shows up in a big way. And you've heard me use the word glue guys or great teammates, and all of those things can factor into what, you know, you're looking for to build as a team. So everything matters. And for teammates like that have a different role, all of them have an impact on winning, but their roles may be different. And so it'll always be a part of our equation. Adam, I believe in team first, and you've heard me say, like, the best part of our team is the team. And that's like a really cool thing to say as a coach, because it's not this group or that group or this one, like collectively the way they work together, like it's a really cool thing.
This one's for Dan. A lot of players talked about culture, and it's one thing to implement culture and it's another thing to have it continue to grow, especially as you get here and you acquire new guys. How do you make sure that your culture continues to flourish through the offseason and heading into year two?
Yeah, it's such an important topic. And it really is the work that we do every day. And it's like how we conduct our lives here. And so we're all on the same page here. And I can remember when we added a player to the team, I said, you can ask anybody here, man, a rookie, you know, 10-year vet, we're all on the same page. This is how we do things. This is what we wear for walkthrough. This is where we go to train, whatever that is. And so that's their jobs to pay it forward to the next person. And if that's a new guy coming in, we have a process for what that looks like. And what I do love about a standard and a culture, like there's a certain level that we're all expected to, hey man, that's not to the standard. This is what we do. And so we like having that together. And yeah, it'll be a really important thing from now. And 20 years, we'll look back and say, okay, in 2024, that began. How did it grow stronger? It will grow stronger because it's the people that live it. If it's just a sign on the wall, then you don't really have one. You have to live it.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Coaches, for you specifically, we talked a lot when you first got here about that getting that second opportunity to be a head coach, and you thought about, you know, getting a chance to do it again. I do this or I do that. Where did those expectations that you had for yourself come into play this year? And is there a spot where you already kind of know next year you want to get even better?
Yeah, you asked some good questions. There's a lot that I want to get better at. I probably don't have enough time for that. But I would say coming in, I wanted to make sure that, like, all my focus, you know, could be just on the team. And Adam has done a fantastic job of, as my partner here, to go through it. Like, you know, day and night, that's where my eyes are. And that was really important to me, to make sure that, like, each meeting, whether it's offense or defense or special teams, that I'm in it, that I know it, and that I didn't have to worry about something else that would go on. And so having that going in, that was one of my top priorities, and knowing I would be at my best doing X, Y, and Z. And so I shared that with him to say, hey, these are, you know, some of the things that are really important for me and what I need, you know, to be successful. And he absolutely delivered on that, and then some.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
That was the postseason, unfortunately, press conference of Adam Peters and Dan Quinn in the wake of yesterday's tough loss and drubbing, really, at the hands of Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game. But it was an amazing season. It was a wonderful ride that led up to what was a really frustrating and disappointing end. Let's go back through some of the things they just said, give you some takeaways next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan, the show made possible by our sponsor, the law firm Kendori & Murad. We're going to help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a consultation with their estate planning attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Mention us, get yourself a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Yesterday, the Commanders went to Philly. They were confident. I think they thought they were coming back with an NFC Championship game win. They gave up 55 points. They lost by 32. And now we're trying to pick up the pieces today after what was an unbelievable season. Nobody thought they would make the playoffs, let alone win not one but two playoff games. And I mean absolutely nobody, not parents of players, not Dan Quinn, not Adam Peters, thought this team was getting to the NFC Championship game. And they did. So we're juxtaposing that with the fact that when you got there, you laid an egg, you gave up 55, which is a record amount of points scored in a conference round, and you lost by 30-plus.
Yeah, they should have been confident. I mean, after something happens one time, it's a fluke. If it happens two times, it's, hey, there's something going on here. If it happens seven straight times, then you go, this is just what it is. This is who we are. We're a group that's better than the sum of our parts. You know, we are doing more than we should be doing. That goes out the window now, right?
Yesterday showed they were hotter than they were good, which is okay.
Yeah.
They're really not supposed to be able to play with the Eagles. They weren't supposed to be able to beat the Lions. I think all the injuries to the Lions' defense made them susceptible in a lot of ways, but they took advantage of any kind of breaks, whether they were injury-related like that, whether they were in-game with Baker Mayfield, you know, bumping into McMillan and fumbling. Now you throw a touchdown pass to Terry and you're back in the lead. You get a bounce off the uprights that goes in. You win a football game. This was such a good ride. It was so fun. I also think, I talked to Dan Quinn about this yesterday, I think this is invaluable for them, Danny, moving forward. The fact that Daniels got to play in three playoff games,
yep,
12 playoff quarters. I mean, the guy, 1 year in now, has played in an NFC Championship game. So if you're playing in another one next year, the year after, 3 years from now, it's not his first anymore. The amount of guys on this team that are coming back that got massively important experience from the kids like Mikey Sanristo and Ben Sinnott, who caught the fake punt pass from Tressway, two veterans who are going to be around, hopefully, for years to come, like Terry McLaurin. To play in these games makes it easier for you to win them next time.
Yeah, it is invaluable. There's a reason that, you know, it's called experience. It's such a critical thing. Doesn't guarantee anything, of course. The more experienced team doesn't always win, and there's a million factors that go into it. But to me, it's the understanding of, oh, this is what it takes, right? Whether win or lose, where you understand the sacrifice. You understand that when nobody's watching, in the middle of March, in the middle of nowhere, are you either doing the extra rep or not? Are you doing everything you possibly can when it's coming to OTAs, or are you not? Are you about that money, boss, or are you about this team overcoming and about getting to the next level? And it's okay to be one way or the other, but you understand the level of commitment, the level of luck, the level of good fortune, the level of talent and play that it takes to really and truly compete at that super high level. Of course that's invaluable, because it's right there in front of you. You got this far, and you can see over the horizon now. You can see that you could have been playing in the game in a couple of weeks that the whole world watches.
Most of what I found interesting about the Peters and Quinn press conference actually came from the GM, Adam Peters. And I think that's just because we hear Dan Quinn talking all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of the same talking points and kind of anecdotes and the fun little slogans and things that he has. But with Peters, I thought there was some real good stuff. Wouldn't comment on if he expects Kingsbury to be back. How could he not be at this point? There's only one opening. It's the Saints job. I haven't seen anywhere that he would be interviewing for that job, right? They've already done a round or two of interviews, so he'd be way late. Now, the Saints would be ridiculous not to ask for permission to talk to him.
That's right.
They should offer him the job, but is he really leaving this operation and Jaden Daniels to go to that situation with, you know, Derek Carr and Spencer Rattler and a bad cap situation? I doubt it. So I have a hard time believing he wouldn't be back. But I loved Peter saying he's known the guy for years and years. He had no idea how hard he works. Talked about him getting in at 3 a.m., which we saw on Hard Knocks, remember.
Yeah.
That he wakes up in like the middle of the night and goes into work all the time. Said he did a fantastic job, led well, great energy, listener, performance that was outstanding, did a great job calling plays. And Kingsbury is such an important piece to this puzzle. And the fact that he's likely coming back, basically because a lot of teams were not patient enough to wait for him so that they could interview him, is pretty stunning to me.
Yeah, it ends up being a massive, massive story and a benefit. So, I mean, again, credit to Dan Quinn and maybe even credit to Adam Peters, because big picture, you and I both said this, and I think you went harder than I did. It's not a criticism, just information. If you hire someone that's not an offensive genius as your head coach, the issue is keeping some continuity on the offensive staff. Well, maybe a guy that's getting paid like a head coach to be an OC for a couple of years gives you some continuity, maybe more than your average bear might. So that may be something that they saw down the pike. Who knows if they did or didn't, but it certainly looks like it's going to work out that way.
Yeah, I think it was not that. I think it was that they went to the NFC Championship game, and you were lucky that he said he's not doing interviews until it's all said and done. Joe Witt, as an example, did a head coaching interview for the Jets and threw his name into his hat into the ring, so to speak. But yeah, the fact that he's not leaving is a massive win for them. I don't know that it's strategic or something that they planned out or anything in any way. But I would still bet against him being here for the long term. You know, hopefully you get another year. That would be great.
That's the thing that I care about is I need the first few years, which are damn near impossible for anybody.
Yeah.
I need that continuity. I can't have my rookie quarterback, now a second-year quarterback, learn a whole new language, a whole new set of everything.
Right.
As the whole league is adjusting and figuring stuff out. Continuity to me is key, something I worried about, and it looks like, knock on wood, it's going
to
happen.
It's not that much more fun for him to learn something new after 2 years either, I would point out. But I think after 2 years, maybe the idea is, certainly their plan would be, that David Blough, assuming you don't lose him to be an OC somewhere this year, or Brian Johnson or somebody, would have worked with Cliff enough that they can at least mask, you know, the deficiency of losing him a little bit. That maybe after 2 years in the system, in the building with Jaden, it's a better thing to promote from within, which is true. But we don't need to go back over the offensive coach thing. You know, there's a reason why that just seems to work at the highest rate. Doesn't mean this can't work. It almost did, by the way. They got to the NFC Championship
pretty well,
game. But there's just not a history of, you know, D coordinator, head coach is kind of running it back year in, year out. The other thing that I found compelling about Peters talking today was when he addressed Marshawn Lattimore's status. There was not a, we've got a decision to make, we'll see about him coming back at all. He said he came in a bad situation, He was injured when he got here. He was rehabbing. You're trying to learn a defense and learning teammates and getting healthy. And we can't wait to have him for a full offseason. So that was about as definitive as you're going to get, I think, in him coming out and saying, it's 2 years, $36 million. He's going to be here. Mm-hmm. We're not moving on. Which, by the way, I didn't think they would. You can't give up a 3, a 4, and a 6 and then punt on him after a couple of months. That would be a bad idea. But I also didn't know that he would go that hard in the paint and kind of defending why he played the way that he did.
Yeah, so I think this was one of those, he could have been nonplussed about it, but he went hard in the player direction. I think that's who this is. What, maybe privately, as soon as he's done, he might be like, man, that guy sucked, and what a disappointment he was.
He came on our show and defended Emmanuel Forbes and said he thought he would have a big year. I don't really believe he thought that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think this is the mantra. I think this is who these guys are always going to be publicly. If you were a player, there'll be nothing backed up over you. Like, you are not getting run under the bus. You're never getting hit with anything. Their time at the podium is going to be time praising everybody, to the nth degree. So who knows privately what he thought. I don't know if he's got buyer's remorse. I certainly wouldn't say so today if he did, but I sort of want to take it with a grain of salt there in terms of their plans. But also, I mean, this is one of those where I don't know how much it benefits you just to move on or whatever. You traded the pieces away. There's guaranteed money. It's a pretty nasty cap hit. Maybe you could trade him, but his value's never been lower. My only worry is you count on him for much better play that never materializes and don't do anything else at the position.
We should look at their pending free agents, who they need to bring back. I want to also listen to what Jaden Daniels had to say yesterday because I thought his comments were great. But we'll get to the phones next. I know you guys have been waiting. 800-636-1067 if you want to join us to discuss the Commanders' offseason, starting a couple of weeks before we were hoping that it would after their magical ride. This is The Fan. He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan. We'll get to the comments that I like so much from Jaden Daniels after the game, but it's been a while since we touched the people. Let's hit the phones. Mac joins us on Grant and Danny. Mac, tough day yesterday to end what was a memorable season.
I loved our season. I'm so happy to be there, but is it me or, like, yes, I'm so happy we got Lattimore on the trade, but should he even have been benched 3 games ago? He can't guard anyone. All he does is hold. All he does is hold. Please don't bring him back. I know we had, like, a lot of other corners that were getting burned that sucked, but how do we keep doing that?
Yeah, there's no answer in the bullpen there, Mac. I mean, it reminds me of when, you know, some of those bad Nationals moments or starts where any person that Davey Martinez asked to get loose in the bullpen was not a good answer to bring into the game. They don't have a corner walking through that door. So Lattimore was their best option, maybe. I mean, you could have argued St. Juste, and maybe he would have done the same thing, held into the end zone or committed pass interferences. But, yeah, they don't have a good answer over there in that room.
No, it's an indictment on the position. And if we're being honest, it was not necessarily unforeseen. I'm not patting myself on the back here, but we had Adam Peters on the show. I think it was right before training camp when he joined us.
Uh-huh.
And if you remember, the one specific position on the roster that we asked him about is, I said, look, and it wasn't like I was the only guy saying this, but I said, hey, I think you did a pretty good job putting the roster together. I'm worried about cornerback. We don't think Forbes can play. You know, are you sure? And he basically said, yeah, we like our guys. Now, again, I think that's a public endorsement. I don't know if that's really what they were saying behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But my point is just to say they knew they had a problem. They traded for Lattimore because they had a problem.
Right. They didn't trade because the room was good.
They expected him to fix it. I think he was more injured than they thought he was. And yeah, it's an indictment on the rest of their guys that they had to keep trotting him out there. In a perfect world, you bench him and you move on. Let's go to Tristan and Chantilly. What's up, Tristan?
Hey, how are you guys?
Come in.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a tough loss, especially against Philly. But, I mean, we just got to be thankful for the new ownership, AP, DQ, and against Philly, it sucks, but great season. I mean, Jaden's, I was at Dulles Airport last night greeting the team and they were coming back, and Jaden still took the time on FaceTime with his mom to sign everyone's jerseys, all that stuff. Just great guy on and off the field, and he's a great mentor for the younger generation of maybe newer fans that are here now.
I actually think it's good point.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that he did off the field this year, really from the moment they drafted him, was kind of how he would have been advised to do it. Like a manual on, hey, you're a young quarterback. How do you come off as humble, approachable, likable leader and a guy you'd want to build your Fortune 500 company around? He did all those things. I cannot be more impressed, proud of, or commend him, or more interested in doing any of those things more than I am, just based on the historical performance, but more important to me, like the work habits,
yeah,
all the stuff. It looked like nothing went to his head. He always said the right thing, which brings me to his comments yesterday, by the way, after the game. And I've told you I wanted to talk about these here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. But the comment that got me was when he said, like, this sucks. I never want to feel like this again. It was this, like, Kobe Bryant-like stewing over the loss and letting you guys know, I'm not going to be here again. And I kind of thought that was awesome.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, everything he does and says, as you said, turns to gold. I guess there's, like, a difference, though, to me, the next level. There's nothing wrong with somebody that shows up and works hard and then goes home, but it's the, if he throws an interception, if he has an incomplete pass or misses a read or something, it's not going to be because he skipped that hour of work. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, the thing that I love so much in sports and in athletes are when guys leave no doubt, leave no room for questions. In other words, if it doesn't work out, it ain't because they didn't put in the effort that time. It's not because they slept in that time. It's not because they didn't study that one thing on film or didn't do the VR or didn't do the lift or didn't do the whatever or were more concerned about something else. This is the right thing every time. Now, there may be something that slips that, you know, you and I don't know about, but I just think in general, when you hear enough gushing praise, you hear enough guys kind of shaking their heads and go, we got a chance because we got five. You don't see that all the time. You know what I mean? That's not an everyday situation when veterans, Hall of Famers, are talking about how they've got a chance every week because they have Jaden Daniels, not because me, Hall of Fame player, is here or whatever. It's the kid quarterback that's doing things that haven't been done in this league.
Hey, did you guys see that the Bayou Bar was on the news in Philly? Montioc or whatever
that is.
So I guess that it was like the Commanders listed the Bayou Bar on their website as a Commanders friendly bar, and the owner who we met, who was putting up like the
super nice guy,
the Santa stuff, and then the guy that worked there, Joe, who like was the bartender, who was even nicer, like they were both on the piece, and I'm like, oh, I know those guys, and they're like, we're not a Commanders friendly bar. What do they think they are, putting us on that site? And I wanted to respond and be like, now, these guys let us literally do a radio show from there as DC guys and, like, gave us our food for free.
They gave us really delicious food.
They were so nice. They're totally a Commanders-friendly bar. They're, like, getting some positive PR. Like, we hate the Commanders and we hate DC people. Like, no, you don't.
You don't hate us.
You're just really nice to us.
You were nice.
A few weeks ago.
You love us, admit it.
That was hilarious. Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. The Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl. We can talk about that. Plus, we got Don't Forget About taking you up to 6:30.